Good afternoon to everybody. The title of my talk has also changed, but not that drastically as you. The new title is Proposal for Quantum Gravity Phenomenology Without Lorentz Symmetry Violation. This is me, and I am a student in the Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México. And this work was carried out with the collaboration of Daniel Sudarsky and Alejandro Corici. So the contents of the talk are more or less the following. First, I will start giving the motivation for this work. Then I will give you the proposal. When constructing the proposal, I will tell you some problems that we obtained, and the solution we got. Finally, I will give you the phenomenological details and the conclusions. So, what is the motivation? Well, everybody here wants to do a quantum gravity theory. However, we know that it is very difficult, and until now it is unknown. So, we are looking for some phenomenology of quantum gravity. The most popular schemes for doing so is by looking Lorentz symmetry violations. However, it is well known that it faces very serious experimental bounds, and also it has some theoretical problems. For instance, if you combine a preferential frame that is associated to a space-time discreteness with quantum field theory radiative corrections, then prediction says that we must already see some effects that we don't see in the experiments. So what we want to do is to assume that the space-time has some granular structure. We don't know what this means. We don't know the details, we don't know the microscopical theory, but we will assume that. And the question we want to answer is, by which other means can quantum gravity manifest besides Lorentz symmetry violations? Well, we will consider that the metric will not be the only fundamental object of space-time. Also, we will fix these building blocks of this granularity of space-time to be Lorentz invariant. And because we don't know how to proceed theoretically, we will use only symmetry principles. In particular, an analogy with solid-state physics will be used. Let's consider a crystal. For example, a crystal whose cells are cubic. So if we gather many of these cubical cells in a macroscopically cubic crystal, then we have no chance to find what is the microscopical symmetry by looking at this cubic macroscopically cubic crystal. In the other hand, if we use again this cubic cells, but now we construct a spherical crystal, for example, we can sense some roughness in the surface of this crystal, and then we will know what is the microscopical structure of this crystal. This is the idea we want to translate to space-time. So the analogy goes as follows. Let's associate the cubic crystal with space-time. So these building blocks of the cubic crystal, namely the cubic cells, are associated with these granular units of space-time. The cubic symmetry is associated with Lorentz symmetry. And this macroscopically cubic crystal, where we cannot see the microscopical symmetry, is associated with pieces of space-time where the curvature is zero, where the granular structure is not manifest to Lorentz symmetry violations. And on the other hand, we associate these macroscopically spherical crystals, or the surface of these crystals, with the regions of space-time that do have a curvature, and where we think that the granular structure of space-time can be sensed by matter fields. One important detail is to notice that the Ricci tensor is determined by the fields locally. So coupling this tensor with the fields is a self-interaction. So we will only focus on Weyl, which is the part of the Riemann tensor without Ricci. We want to construct the coupling terms of Weyl with the fermion matter fields that are minimally suppressed by the Planck mass. So the most obvious that you can think of has this this structure, which vanish identically. So this is not a good idea. The next obvious terms vanish or are suppressed by more Planck mass powers. So we are kind of stuck here. We need to extract some information of Weyl tensor, but having a different index structure, so we can couple it to the fermion matter fields, having a minimally and being minimally suppressed by Planck mass. Ideally, we would like to make a coupling term that will be dimension 5, so will be suppressed only by one power of Planck mass. So what can we do? Well, we can consider the Weyl tensor as a map of the space of two forms into itself. This space, I'm calling it S. And it's easy to see that that this map is self-adjoint, and therefore it can be diagonalized. So this is Weyl tensor with two indices down and two up. These are its eigenvectors, and this its eigenvalues. So we can use the eigenvectors and the eigenvalues to couple the fermion fields to it that has some information about the Weyl tensor. Some things have to be noticed. For example, that this lambda has the same dimensions as the Weyl tensor, and that these eigenvectors are anti-symmetric because of the symmetry properties of Weyl. Also, this space S has a metric which can be used to normalize the non-null eigenvectors according to this expression. It is very important that these eigenvectors are fixed uniquely. However, if I have a degeneration, every linear combination of these degenerated eigenvectors will be another eigenvector with the same eigenvalue. So this is a problem, and we were thinking how to solve it for a long time. And first of all, we understood what is the reason for this degeneracy that we found that we always have a degeneracy. And we found also that the reason is that a Weyl vector satisfies this equation, where epsilon is the volume form of space-time. So because of this, this eigenvector and this one correspond to the same eigenvalue, and I have an unavoidable degeneration that causes these problems that I was telling. So the solution we found is to use the same volume form to choose among all the linear combination of these two degenerated eigenvectors by asking them to satisfy this equation. This is kind of interesting because the proposal alone call us to use the space-time volume form, which suggests that the quantum gravity may violate the p-symmetry. Remember that in the standard model it's common known that the weaker the interaction, less symmetries it respects. However, gravity breaks this pattern completely because gravity respects all the discrete symmetries. So maybe gravity in its quantum regime will be put into this pattern, and this is some clues about it. So now let me tell you what is the coping term that we are proposing. We propose it because it's the monatomic way one can couple it. As you will see, it has some free parameters, obviously, that must be bound in an experiment. But essentially, the reason for choosing this is naturalness. So we are considering a flavor dependence, who is labeled by this A index. These are the fermion matter fields. These are the usual Dirac matrices. These are the linear combination of the eigenvectors. This and this. These are the only difference between this one and this one is the norm. This has a half norm plus one and this minus one. The eigenvalues are here and here. Yep. And all these are the constants that the experiment have to bound. Notice also that there are only three. This index L goes from 1 to 3, so this sum over L goes from 1 to 3. And now, in order to compare this theory with the experiments, we will do the calculations in the linearized regime. As usual, we are defining the space-time metric to be Minkowski metric plus a perturbation. So in the gauge given by this, and neglecting all the terms suppressed by C, and also considering this type of energy momentum tensor, the only non-zero components of the body tensor are these ones that are shown here, where I, J, K, L, and L runs from 1 to 3, and where this phi n is the Newtonian potential. Notice that these objects can be arranged in a 3 times 3 matrix, and both matrices have the same form in this regime. So we are only dealing with one matrix, that is essentially this one, the second derivative of the Newtonian potential. I will skip all the calculations, all the technical details. What I want to say is that if you are some experimentalist, I can give you three simple steps in order to construct a Hamiltonian that can be measured in some experiments. These steps are the following. First, you have to solve this eigenvalue equation. Well, this is the matrix of the last transparency, the second derivative of the Newtonian potential, and obtain these vectors and these eigenvalues. Using them, you have to construct this guy, where the coupling constant that we want to bound, we want to found its bounds, are essentially here. And using the work of Kostelecki and Lane, the non-relativistic Hamiltonian that we obtain at the end is given by this expression, where sigma are the Pauli matrices, d is the vector formed by these components, p and m are respectively the momentum and the mass of the test particles. Notice that all the terms have a sigma in them, so polarization of the matter is important, as we will see. First, let me say that value is related to the tidal forces, so we must take care when doing experiments measuring this of considering the places where we are doing the experiments. In different places on Earth, the experiment will be different. So this is kind of new. There were some theories where this happened, but it's not the most common thing. Also, as I was saying, we need polarized matter. So many of the existing experiments for quantum gravity don't work here. For example, the Hughes-Driver experiments fail, but this is because a different reason. This is because the Hughes-Driver experiments are made for sensing an ether-like field and not a field produced by the Earth. 2 weeks ago, in another conference in Trieste, in CISA, I was giving this conference, and an experimentalist called Dr. Abel Berger was very enthusiastic because he has a technique of gathering polarized matter without having a magnetic field. So now we have a concrete experiment we will use to found the bounds of this theory. And we are kind of excited about it. So finally, let me conclude. We present a concrete proposal for manifestation of quantum gravity phenomenology based on the idea that space-time may have a granular structure, but this structure will respect Lorentz symmetry. The three parameters can be bound, and hopefully will be bound in a near future. And finally, this model suggests new type of experiments, which is always good in physics. Thanks a lot.
So I wonder, do you have any estimates for the size of this effect?
No.
Shouldn't you be able to calculate the bound in these specific bounds by corrections?
Yes, but
first of all, three parameters, but we should get some idea of what's
happening. Completely agree. But first we needed an idea of which kind of experiments we can use, and this idea is very new, so that's the work we have to do now.
Any other comments?
At the beginning, you mentioned this result that by Colin Sudarsky and other people that Lorentz violation break Lorentz invariance plus relative corrections give you two large effects to notice. Do you think you will observe something similar to that here?
Sorry, what's the question?
Do you think in your model you would suffer from the same problem?
Ah, okay. No, I don't. This problem arises when considering radiative corrections. When you do the calculation of loops, then new terms are included, and this is what you get. Here we don't do any... we don't know what's the fundamental microscopical theory. So there's no reason to associate these two things. Maybe Alejandro can say something else.
Yes, in that case, the possible observation came because we were considering a Lorentz violation in color and then looking at what happens when we look at the groups. In this case, the proposal is just to get an effective theory, which still is just a proposal which has no justification so far from any quantum theory of gravity other than motivation. So one of the challenges also is to the right as effective, the description effective theory from some high energy quantum gravity theory, some terms of this type.
Any further questions? So you propose a way of coupling synchromions to the Wall tensor, and I know this was the main point of your talk, but can you point again to what feature of this interaction will point you to a fundamental length in space time?
Well, that's exactly one of the questions that are.
Is it going to be like one of the parameters of the left hand interaction?
So this is the interaction.
Yeah.
The idea is that the vial itself cannot be here because it will be very suppressed. So we are using these eigenvalues, eigenvector, and the eigenvalues. I don't understand what's the question.
So you said that so this is a proposed interaction. You say that these Xs and Rs are going to be measured by experiments. So if you know this value, what will those values tell you about the fundamental length?
Ah, I see. No, about the fundamental length, I don't think it will be something concrete. I think the important features is that any future theory of gravity, if these bounds are interesting, will have to satisfy also these bounds, these experimental bounds. So no, I cannot conclude anything about the granular length, for calling that, from these parameters. Yes.
And just a small question. So you had this sigma when you wrote down the model of this Hamiltonian. Was that the spin?
Yes.
So
no. Pauli matrices, yes.
So you mean you could do this kind of experiment with magnets, right? Or what kind of polarized matter are we looking at?
Okay. Remember that this is only a term in the Lagrangian. I need to include in the full Lagrangian also the electromagnetic terms. So if the magnetic field is very strong, I won't be able to see this term. I need polarized matter that doesn't produce a magnetic field. And that's what Dr. Adelberger knows how to do, and I'm a complete ignorant.
What exactly do you mean by polarized matter? Is it some matter of spin?
Or yes. The spins are orientated in such a way that externally you don't sense any magnetic field.
Okay.
So there's another one. Well, sorry. If it's possible.
Thank you. So you talk about quantum gravity, terminology of quantum gravity.
Well, because Lorentz symmetry is the most popular violations of Lorentz symmetry is the most popular way.
When you do not have gravity.
Well, correctly, yeah.
Okay.
But
so I hope you can go to speak again.